time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. And as you may know, Pastor and Mrs. Otero left yesterday for rest and recuperation on a well-earned vacation. And we are pleased that our brother will again be standing in the pulpit today to bring us teaching from God's Word. Will you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon, and refer to the insert in your bulletin for information and activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. There are also letters inserted in your bulletin from two missionaries, the Rhodes in Papua New Guinea and the Lewises. Fred and Carol Lewis have returned to the United States from Siberia due to Fred's poor health, and Carol's letter will give you more insight into that situation. Also, the 3:30 Bible class will be canceled this afternoon. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 84, verses 1, 2, and 4. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 42, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. I know whom I have believed. Thank you.
Will you please stand as we sing hymn number 230, Saved, Saved. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our gracious God, we again come into your presence for prayer and worship. We know that we have been granted this high privilege because of your mercy in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sins. You have caused us to now stand complete in your will, having been redeemed by the shedding of the blood of Christ. Our boast is only in him, our great God and Savior. To him be all the glory. We love you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We love you for who you are and for such a great salvation. We pray for our missionaries that you would use them effectively by the Holy Spirit's power to bring the gospel to many unbelievers in various parts of the world, and that many would believe the gospel and come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord. We pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, who had to leave Russian Siberia very quickly because of Fred's rapidly deteriorating health, and are now currently in Beaverton, Oregon. We ask for wisdom for the doctors to correctly diagnose and treat Fred, and that you would restore him to good health. We also pray that the financial needs of the Lewis family will be met. We pray that our other missionaries would be blessed in their mission. For Daniel Lacey of Motorsports Ministries, wherever Trans Am auto races are held. For Giovanni Avendano in Guatemala. For Carl and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. For the David Rhodes family in Papua New Guinea, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain, and for Marta and George Peretti in Argentina. Pray for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose and the South Valley Pregnancy Center in Gilroy. We thank you, Father, for raising up such ministries and that we can participate with them through our prayers and financial support. We pray for Pastor and Mrs. Otero as they enjoy vacation and rest for 2 weeks. May they be refreshed and blessed to be able to return to a busy schedule here at home. We ask that you would keep them safe as they travel. Lord, we are grateful to have again our trusted brother, Ramil Yalde, faithful in the handling of your word, who will stand in the pulpit today in pastor's absence. We ask that you would guide him and bless him as he teaches the great truths from your word today. Father, we know that you know all things. You know the needs of our congregation. We thank you that we can gather together on Wednesday nights to pray for those needs and other needs of those outside of our congregation. We also know that there are many needs of which we are unaware, but you know them all. We pray that you would restore the sick to good health and bless those that need spiritual blessing, and those that are struggling financially, and those in need of jobs. We thank you and that you always hear us and answer according to your perfect will. We ask that you would use Bethel Church's radio and internet broadcasts and tape and CD teaching ministries to bring your word to many, also bringing unbelievers to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have allowed us to share in your work by giving back to you a portion of what you have given us. We pray that you would bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of John. We will be reading John chapter 6, verses 35 through 47. I might add that our brother Ramil has actually prepared two sermons today. So, and I think God put on his heart to preach from this Gospel of John. And what it says in your bulletin is different than what we are going to hear from our brother this morning. So don't be confused by that. And I think that we are going to hear much good news this morning. Again, we're going to be reading John chapter 6, verses 35 through 47. And will you please stand now for the reading of God's word, John chapter 6, 35 through 37. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we see in your word that those who believe you are referred to as those that fear God. Your word shows that you are the living God who is greatly to be feared and greatly to be praised. Nevertheless, we come before you because we are instructed to come boldly to the throne of grace. We do this because you have demonstrated your love for us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for that love which we now willingly return, and we thank you for the gift of faith. We believe all that has been written from Genesis to Revelation. We pray now for our teacher, our brother, Ramil Yalde, as he comes to deliver the truth and wisdom found in your word. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that those who are unbelievers might also gain the faith that saves by hearing the word of God. Give us understanding that we may hide your word in our hearts and that we might not sin against thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, brother, for reading the word of God. It's once again an honor for me to stand before you and preach the only truth which is found in the word of God. I spoke with Pastor Otero before he left, and I said, what are you going to be doing? He says, I'm going to count the hydrogen and oxygen in water. Make sure that two hydrogens and one oxygen forms water. And he says, you know, that's a tough work. Make sure that we do it accurately. We have a very, very God-fearing pastor, and we should be honored to sit under the teaching of Pastor Otero. Today, God has put on my heart to speak with you of a person, of a preacher, of a publican called Levi. As the brother Plika has read, I will repeat a couple of verses from John 6, verses 44 and 45. The scripture tells us that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And in verse 45 we read, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And then we are faced with three facts in these two verses. Number one, no man can come to Christ. No man can. No man. It is impossible. Man who is spiritually dead in trespasses and sin has no spiritual ability whatsoever. But any man may come. Any man may. There are two different things when you talk about can and may. Can implies ability. May implies permission. You can come if you want to. You can come if you want to. But there is a third thing that is clear to us from the scriptures. Some men shall come. There are some of Adam's fallen race, chosen of God and redeemed by Jesus Christ, who must and shall, at God's appointed time, come to Jesus Christ in faith. And all of them shall be taught of God. And all who are taught of God shall come. I want to see an example from the scripture, from the Gospel of Luke, if you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We have an example of that here in Luke 5. We have before us a story of an immortal soul, a man who had managed to gain a considerable amount of faith, of wealth. Wealth gained in all likelihood by oppression, perhaps by theft and deceit, but wealth nonetheless. He was a rich dude, got lots of money. And yet, this man was empty inside. He was troubled in his soul. His conscience bothered him. His wealth could not purchase peace, the peace we studied this morning. He didn't know at that time, but this man was a chosen object of God's grace, one for whom now the time of love had come. So the Lord Jesus came to him in mercy and in grace and called him by his irresistible grace to life and to faith. And only Jesus can do that. Nobody else can. Let's read together then the story of this publican named Levi, beginning in verse 27 of Luke chapter 5. So I will read from Luke 5, 27 through 32. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him, with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now this story ought to be of immense interest to anyone who knows the value of his immortal soul, to anyone who desires God's salvation. These verses describe the conversion of Levi, Matthew, one of the Lord's first disciples. Like Levi, you and I were born in sin. Like him, we walked according to the course of this world. Like him, we walked in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And like him, we by nature were the children of wrath, even as others, the scripture says in Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, because by grace ye are saved. Had he had not come to us, we would never have come to him. Had he not called us, we would never have called upon him. Had he not turned us, we would never have turned to him. Had he had not converted us by his almighty irresistible grace, we would never have been converted. Our Lord Jesus tells us plainly that we must be converted. I speak as plainly as I know how today. We must be converted. Salvation? Well, this generation has no idea what salvation is. Salvation is not walking down an aisle. Salvation is not saying, I just believe in God. I logically understand what he did. Salvation is not repeating some sort of a prayer only. Salvation is not kneeling at a bench and crying only. Salvation is not beating ourselves in the back like other religions and bleed and have pain because we're doing it for God. No, sir. Salvation is conversion. Salvation is a turning of your soul. Salvation is a turning of our being in the core and essence of our being to God Almighty. Salvation is turning from unbelief to faith, from hating God to loving God, from sin to righteousness, from self-righteousness to the righteousness of God that is found in Jesus Christ alone. I ask you now, Anthony, I ask you, have you been converted? Brother Victor, have you been converted? Ramil, have I been converted? I'm not asking if I had a religious experience. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking if you are just a member of a Bethel Baptist Church in Morgan Hill, California. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking if you know the right doctrines. I'm not asking if you have memorized Psalm 119, all of it. No way. I'm not asking that. I'm asking a simple question. Have you been converted? Very simple. I studied and prepared this message. And I asked this question of me, and I asked this question of all that teach and preach in this church. I ask of all the women, of all the children, of all the grandparents and grandmas, of everybody in this building. Have you been converted? Turned by God Almighty. I know this, that if we are converted, we are being converted. It is God who is turning us to Himself. Has God turned us to Himself? You see, conversion is something that continues as long as we live in this world. It ain't a one deal effect in 1963 on December, blah, blah, blah. It's a continuous thing. It will not be over until our conversion is finished completely and we are turned at last to God in perfection. That's when it's finished. Believing sinners, therefore, continually cry to God, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. We rejoice like the psalmist, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Oh, bless God, that through Jesus Christ's sacrificial death as our substitute, God Almighty has turned from His fierceness and from His anger because of Him, not because of me. Because of Him and what He did on the cross, He has turned thyself from the fierceness of thy anger, the psalmist says. And now we who have experienced God's grace, we believers can identify with the words of Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 31, 18. Jeremiah 31, 18 and 19. The scripture says, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. Jeremiah knows that the hand of the Lord has touched him, just like Job. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art God, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, my God. Surely, verse 19, after I was turned, I repented. And after that, I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. And yet, Jeremiah continues to cry. Let's go to Lamentation. Lamentation, the next book. Lamentation, Jeremiah, Lamentation, chapter 5, verse 21. Chapter 5, verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. O God, turn us. O God, turn me everything in our flesh, everything in this world is constantly pulling us from God. All the money, all the fame, all the power, all the majesty of the world is turning us away from our Redeemer. So turn us unto Thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Now we're ready to go to Luke. Now, open your Bibles to Luke 5. We're just beginning. Fasten your belts. That's seat belts. Luke 5. And let us see what we can learn about this conversion from this story of the Levite. Let's honestly compare our experience with his. Let's compare. Everybody in their own heart, let's compare. If we are converted, the changes which were wrought in this man by God's almighty grace are also wrought in us, in me, in you, in you. So let's go to Luke 5, verse 27 and verse 28. The first thing we see, the fact of Levi's conversion is recorded. It's a fact. It's been recorded. Let's read again. Luke 5, 27, 28. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican. He had his eye on him, you know, from eternity. This was not an accident. No way. He saw a publican named Levi sitting in sin, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, whenever you want, you know, just get up and come. No. Follow me. And then what happened? And he left all, rose up out of his sins. You know, Christ will never leave you where he found you. You see? He left all, rose up, and followed him. Have you? Do you? Have I? Do I? Here is the power of Christ's grace and his effectual calling. He was a publican called by the Son of God. And as soon as he was called, he willingly left all and followed Christ. We should never, therefore, and this is the lesson, we should never despair of any. Had we seen such a man, the story would have been different. Have we seen such a man, what would we have done? We would have probably walked away and said, well, this guy ain't ready for the grace of God. Look at him. He's a thief. He took from me and my uncles and my grandpa and my grandma for him to be rich. We would have walked from him and we would have said, you're not ready. Whenever you're ready to hear the gospel of grace, I will come back. But now you're not ready. Let's go look for someone with a suit and a tie and let's have a discussion on the doctrines of this and that. That's what we would have done. That's right. You see, none are too wicked. None. None are too hardened. None are too worldly. None are too lost to be saved. None. No sin is too bad. No sins are too vile. No sins are too many to be forgiven by Christ. None. No heart is too dead. No heart is too corrupt, too consumed with the world to be conquered by the lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you believe that? Don't make the mistake then. Don't walk by people just because of what the appearance says or what their job title is. You get them when you can. You preach to them as soon as the Lord opens the door. You go in. You preach to them the word of God. You see, none are beyond the reach of God's saving arm. Do you remember what the Lord said concerning the rich man? Do you remember the rich man? In Matthew 19, we read about him. That he came unto the Lord and he said, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? He knew the scripture. He knew the doctrines. He knew the right words to talk about. What must I do? Good things now. I ain't going to go rob a bank for you, Jesus. I ain't going to go kill somebody for you. But what good things I must do to go to heaven? And Jesus said unto him, you remember, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And then come and follow me. And then the disciples were all confused. Because they said, then who can be saved? Look at this man. Look how good he is. Look at his Armani suit with that tie. Perfect. Look at him. Then who can be saved? Jesus. And remember Jesus says, the master said what? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, a lot of people, have commentaries about the eye of the needle is this, is that bridge or that thing. That's not what the Bible says. It is impossible for a camel to go through that little hole. It is impossible. You cannot even take sometimes, well, in the old, young days, I could help my mom with that. Now, I'm missing that hole. I can't. It is impossible to take anything through that eye of a needle. It is impossible. And the disciples said to him, then who can be saved? Who? And what did the master say? Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. Impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Here is what our master said. With God, all things are possible. Are you converted? Has the Lord snatched you from destruction, lifted you from the pit of corruption, and raised you from the dead? Are you converted? Have you left all and followed Christ because He took you away from all and caused you to follow Him? I urge you now, come to Christ. Come without delay. The Son of God is still in the business of saving sinners. It ain't over yet. You see, there is still atonement in His blood. Still. There is still righteousness to be found in the Lord, our righteousness. O Lord, the psalmist says, Psalm 25:11, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. O Lord, forgive me. Pardon my sins. Why? Because it's great. Second, in verse 29 of Luke 5. So first, we saw his conversion recorded. He left all and followed him. Second, in verse 29, we see the Levites' celebration recorded. Celebration. God saved him, and what did he do? He threw him a party. I looked at this and I thought, what a fantastic way to celebrate God's grace. He threw him a party. Not just a potluck, bring your own chicken and fries. I mean, he went all out. In his house, he threw him the greatest feast in his own house. And Levi, verse 29, made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. The feast, we're told in Ecclesiastes, if you read it on your own time, it's for laughter and for celebration in Ecclesiastes 10:19. People came there for celebration, for merriment, to be happy. Levi regarded his conversion not as a matter of great joy, a reason to celebrate. He wanted others to rejoice with him, you see. He wanted others to know the grace he knew now. He wanted others to know God as he knew him now. He wanted others to know the Savior as he knew him now. He felt for his friends. So, what did he do? He threw him a party. Now, without a doubt, many of his friends looked upon the conversion of this rich man, and they said to him, "Oh, what a loss. He could have been great. He could have been the president. He could have been the vice chairman. He could have been the second in command. Oh, he had the financial brain. Oh, what a loss to this world. What a loss." That's what they said. Poor Levi, they would have said. Hope he gets over that soon. Hope that will pass by him soon. But Levi knew he had reason to celebrate. Oh yeah. There is not a higher day. Now listen. There is not a higher day, a day more to be celebrated, more to be remembered than the day of grace in your life, in your life, in your life. Oh yeah. We threw parties every time, you know, for whatever excuse. My son is just went from kindergarten to first grade, a party. 16th birthday, a party, sweet. We graduated from high school, party. We had graduated from college, party. We became a doctor, party. They're getting married, celebrate. They're leaving house, a big party now. They're gone. Big party. They're gone. We find any excuse to throw a party. Oh yeah. But here is a day before which every day pales to. The day of one's birth into the kingdom of God. My heart rejoices when I see my Bible study class. Children that have the faith ingrained in their soul. See that they believe God with all their heart, with all their soul, no doubt. What mother, what father would not rather see this day than graduation day? Which one of us would pass by this day, huh? When a sinner is saved by God's grace, the sinner is born into the kingdom of God. A life of sin is all forgiven. That's it. An unrighteous soul has been made righteous. Can you get a hold of that? A dead person is now alive. Beloved, 1 John says, 3:2, now we are the sons of God. Ephesians says, he hath made us accepted. What? In the beloved. He has made me accepted in Jesus. Can you get a hold of that? Rescued from eternal damnation. He was rescued from eternal damnation. Let's go to the third thing now. We see Levi's concern. So he was saved. He celebrated his salvation. And now we see his concern. Look at his concern in verse 29. This converted sinner, saved by God's free grace, was concerned for the souls of others. So when he made his party, he invited a great company of publicans. Only, let's read. This is very important. Verse 29. Levi made him a great feast, Luke 5:29, in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans. And then, and of others that sat down with them. He was most comfortable, obviously, around publicans. And most everyone else in society probably despised him. The Romans despised him because he was a Jew. The Jews despised him because he worked for the Romans and stole from him and took their money. So he was the most despised. The government didn't like him. But then, what do we read? Levi was converted, and he threw a party, not only for his friends, the publicans, but he also invited others. He's concerned. He knows what has happened in his life. He knows that he's a new creature. He knows that he's been saved. He was dead, now he's alive. And he ain't gonna just stop with his immediate friends. No way. Anyone else? Anyone else he could get a hold of, he invited. The Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, because we read that they murmured, we know they were there. He invited them all. Levi invited the sinners to come to his house, come to his party, not because he wanted to wine and dine them, not because he wanted to show them, look what we've done. In 2004, it was all about remodeling. This is the kitchen. This is the ceiling lights. Look at the marble slab. One piece. I brought it from Italy. I went there. He didn't do that. He didn't want to show off his mansion. Oh, look at the bedrooms. We got 25. And they all have their own bathrooms. You don't need to come down to this one. This is mine. You got yours. No, 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 no. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to show off his possession and his wealth. No way. He wanted to see his friends sit face to face with the Savior. That's what he wanted. Converted sinners, you see, are never content to go to heaven alone. Do you want to go to heaven alone? No. I mean, we're not like some religious people saying that women can't go to heaven, so I have to marry as much as I can to take him with me. That's not what we're talking about. If you want to go to heaven, you got to marry me. No, 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 no. I got one, I got 10, I got 20. I'll take them all to heaven. No, 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 no. We're all going to hell like that. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Now, I wish we were like Andrew. What do you know about Andrew in the scriptures? Well, who's Andrew? What epistles did he write? How many preachings are recorded based on Andrew's teachings? Who is Andrew? We don't know much about Andrew, but you know what? Andrew had a brother. His name is Peter. Oh, Peter now. Yeah, I mean, he is an apostle. I mean, he wrote some stuff. He preached some powerful preaching. But what did Andrew do? Do you remember? What did Andrew do? We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. He went and got his brother. He says, Peter, I found him. I found him. I wish I was an Andrew. I wish I was an Andrew. That's what Levi did. I found him, the Messiah. And fourthly, we see Levi's critics. I know in verse 30 of Luke 5, I know a friend of mine who was devastated by what he believed. Oh, and he was severely criticized. Oh yeah, we preached together, we walked together. Oh boy, he was squeezed, big time. He lost everything. And then he wrote to me and he says, what shall I do? What shall I do? How do I answer these critics? How do I face these people that are criticizing what I believe in? How to do it? Well, the answer is simple. In verse 30, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And you know what the answer is? How do you answer these critics? You don't. You don't. You let Jesus take care of them. Verse 31, and Jesus answering said unto them, not him, not the disciples, they didn't have to go into the battle. They knew what they needed to do and where they needed to stop. And they did. And Jesus answering and saying to them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. healthy folks don't go to the doctor. No, sir. Well, these days they do because it's free. Here it is. I got a pain in my earlobe. Why? Well, I have insurance. Let's go check it out. Maybe it's something. My fingernails are... People go to the doctor just for the hell of going to the doctor because it's free. If you had to pay for it, I don't think you'd go every time, would you? Would you? But this day is a little different than those days. Healthy folks don't go to the doctor, only the sick folks. And in verse 32 of Luke 5, we read, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That takes care of the critics, doesn't it? It took care of the critics. And every sinner, every man, every woman in this world who's made to see himself as a sinner, he is coming to Christ. I guarantee you. The only reason people don't want to come to him, because they don't know that they're sinners. They think they're righteous people. They need no master. They need no physician because we have not sinned. I'm a good person. What did I do? Did I kill somebody? What did I do? That's what they said to me once. Who needs a substitute if you're righteous? Who needs a doctor if you're not sick? Who needs a savior if you're not a sinner? Oh, may God expose us to our condition. May God take a hold of us and expose us to our corruption and sin, so we can see ourselves as a sinner before Almighty, and will be given the legs to flee to Him to be saved. Now, what about us, you say? What about us that we were believers? We know we are believers. We know we walk with the Lord. How do we come to Him? I tell you something. Don't ever, ever, ever think of raising yourself above a sinner. Never. You remember Naaman the leper? Oh, he had his own vision of being saved. I want to get healed and I want to do it my way. So I'm going to go to the prophet of God, and he told me to go wash in Jordan 7 times. What a ridiculous thing to do, he said. He said, I can go. I can go to my rivers in Jordan, the Syria, I'm sorry, and I could wash in them. Why do I have to go there? I thought, he said, that the prophet of God will come out. I thought that he will shake his hand on my leprosy. I thought that he will say a prayer to his God, and I will be saved. You see, man has his own salvation plan ingrained in our heads. But God said, if you wanted to be saved, you gotta do it my way. There is only one way, and that is through Christ. There is no other way under heaven by which man can be saved. None whatsoever. None. None. So what do we say? Let's go to Colossians 2:6 and we'll close. Colossians 2:6. We need to come naked. We need to come empty-handed. We need to come as sinners. We need to come as wiles. We need to come needing grace, needing it. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so what do? Walk ye in Him. Walk, Andrew, in Him. Walk. Peter, walk in Him. Walk in Him. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Lord Savior, we thank You for Thy Word. We thank You for the marvelous salvation plan that You have. As You have called the sinner to repentance, may it be that You will call us and we will leave all and follow You. May it be that we will celebrate because we are now sinners saved by grace. May it be that You will be the Lord of our lives and the King of our lives. And may it be that as we have made and walked according to Thy word, we will see the power of thy hand upon our lives. You will bless us spiritually and guaranteed to us already the heaven. We have this hope and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand for the closing prayer. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Amen.